Welcome back to Generations. I am one of your co-hosts, Peter.
And I am your other co-host, Aubrey.
You are. And Aubrey and I were having a little behind-the-scenes fun getting ready. if people noticed a couple weeks ago, our audio, or at least Aubrey's audio, wasn't quite what we normally would have loved. We think we got that all figured out now, thanks to the magic of technology.
Heck yeah. It better be.
And I'm going to just say this. This is an unpaid plug, but the application Audio Hijack by Rogue Amoeba, pretty much every single podcaster in the Apple world that I am aware of lives and dies by Audio Hijack. So we figured it was high time to get Aubrey on that bandwagon. And folks, I will say, Audio Hijack is literally one of the reasons that I will never willfully use a Windows PC for anything other than gaming for the rest of my life, because Audio Hijack is literally just that good, and it is Mac only. So,
yes, Mac only.
But Aubrey, how the heck you been?
Oh geez. I've been okay. You know, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
I did think that this semester was going to be less, hefty, and it is mostly, but I kind of make up for that time with, like, working extra hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically have the same amount of non-existent free time that I did last semester. Just now it's just filled with something else rather than homework and class. It's filled with work. Because basically if I do, like, if I add up all the hours that I do with all of my different jobs, I'm working like 40 hours a week and also taking my classes, which again, I'm only at like 14 credits or something like that, but they're still pretty hefty. So the last couple weeks have been a little rough. I'm a little exhausted and tired, but this weekend I've been taking it low-key and having a more of a chill, relaxing weekend and sleeping a lot, and hopefully I can rejuvenate a little bit more and survive the rest of the semester, because it's kind of kicking my butt.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's a not the most fun time of life. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, definitely not. But how are you? How have you been?
I'm hanging in there. A few things at work that have triggered me this week, and I'm just trying to figure out how to not be triggered all the time. So, you know, trying to calm down a little bit. But no, I've been having fun. I am I'm working on the Lost Metal.
Finally.
I was not prepared for just how in the weeds of the Cosmere that book was going to get
until
of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm realizing, spoilers, I'm going to put in a spoiler horn here, but spoilers. I'm sitting here reading this and I'm going, wait a second, Moonlight. Oh my gosh, Moonlight is Juan from The Emperor's Soul.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm into that. And then just because I couldn't just read something for fun, I'm also reading a book called Think, A Compelling Introduction to Philosophy, because I realized I don't know a lot about philosophy. So I figured, you know, I'll try and buttress up that that gap in my fund of knowledge.
That's awesome.
But, you know.
Love it.
I will also say we got back together, started doing D&D this week with our group.
Yes.
Minus the one person who kind of decided to go scorched earth on the whole group. But that's fine. That's fine. We respect people's decisions. But so I'm running this, and we're doing some kind of heist-themed missions. And I will tell you what. The dudes in the group really, they don't know how to run heist theme stuff. Like, I was sitting here, I'm DMing this, and I'm like trying to put out little breadcrumbs to be like, oh, you recognize some of these nobles that are at this gala. And, you know, trying to get them to go and like talk to somebody. Nope, nothing doing. And they're like going close to these statues and they're looking at it. And I'm like, okay, but nobody is like detecting magic or doing anything like to try and figure out what's going on. There was a whole series of offices that, again, I like made one of the guards run over to the office to make it obvious that that's what it was. And they just didn't even go look in the offices. So
so they've got some things to learn, I
see. We're going
to
see. I mean, we're supposed to be doing like a series of 13 different heists. So, you know, we shall see if they're able to successfully pull this off. But anyway... We have a different sort of thing for everybody today. We were trying to figure out what we wanted to do and what we wanted to talk about. And then we're just kind of going to do a hodgepodge. So Aubrey has a great idea. In a few minutes, we're going to take the Knights Radiant quiz to figure out which order of the Knights Radiant we should be in. But before we do that, Aubrey and I, as well as Aubrey's older sibling, Jess, we are going to be going to Spirit Box on May 3rd down in Salt Lake. And all three of us were big Spirit Box fans. I actually kind of got into them. I think it was like 2018, shortly after their first EP came out. Their first EP came out in 2017. And I was like, I actually was a supporter of them on Patreon until they kind of hit it big enough that they decided to not do the Patreon anymore because they feel like that wasn't necessary. And as a member of that Patreon, I actually got to listen to their previous album, Eternal Blue, before it was released in a Zoom video call with the band.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
Like I was in as they did like three or four of them. And so I was in one of those and it was literally, it was Courtney and it was Mike Stringer. And I think Bill Crook, the bassist at the time, was in there as well. But yeah, they were just like in a room and had a video on them. And then they would like play a song and then like we'd chat about it. So
that's so awesome. Oh my God.
I'm and so like, jealous. They're just getting huge. I mean, in case anybody missed it, they were up for Grammy. They had a Grammy award, nomination. They didn't win it.
For what? What was the nomination?
I don't remember what song it was for. It was them and then Knocked Loose with Poppy for, I think, Suffocate, the one that they performed on Jimmy Kimmel. That was up. Gojira won for their song that they performed at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Well-deserved. Props to Gojira. That's super cool. But it was funny because on the red carpet, Courtney's there just looking incredible. And the person who's interviewing her is handed a name card that says Poppy. And so for 3 minutes, Courtney does this interview, does not correct the interviewer, pretends she's like just acts like she's Poppy and answers the questions like as if she was Poppy.
That's crazy.
So, and she was very cool about it afterwards. She said, you know, she didn't blame the interviewer at all. She knew that the interview had been given the wrong name plaque and stuff. But
yeah, that's not their fault.
But yeah. Anyway, long story short, to say we're going to Spirit Box. Spirit Box has a new album coming out in March, Tsunami Sea. I think it's going to be great. A new single dropped either Thursday night or yesterday, and Aubrey has not heard it. I have heard it. So we're going to, through the magic of the internet, we are going to watch that video, and Aubrey is going to live react for us. So we're going to see if I can make this work. Can you still hear me? All right, yeah. Perfect. Here we go. And just tell me if you want me to pause it.
Wrong. Everyone who doesn't know Spirit Box, this is a woman.
Okay. What do you think so far?
That's such a strong start. Wow, we're already.
And like, you know, the whole band's looking great, but wow, gee, Courtney just demands. And
so
she's just a boss. I mean, she is such a fan. She is.
Oh,
okay.
I love her.
A little bit more. Oh, you didn't know you were getting that, did you? I really dig this song.
This video is so cool, too.
So, I'd read something about how this is bringing depression and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, between like this and Sock Spine, I'm like, you're getting it. Heavy album. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be others because the other single, which I can't remember the name of, is much less aggressive. And Spiritbox is really good at balancing that stuff, but this is definitely one of the. It is. You know what it reminds me a lot of is the Spiritbox single Belcara. So Belcara was one of those singles that came out kind of in between the first EP, the Mara Effect, and Eternal Blue. So I don't know. This gives me Belcara. A little bit more. It's a short song. 3 minutes, 50 seconds. Yes, it is.
In a bleached cavern of bones, I reach my destination. An island of solace beneath a corpse's feet. I can feel something sinister under the surface. I know an island that breathes is a body that eats.
Oh yeah, come on. That's it. That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
My
so,
gosh.
What do you think?
Wow, that is a heavy song. I
love
that. I love the video too.
They're very trippy and
got some creepy vibes, but
well, and
yes,
like
very
that
trippy.
One kind of has those horror vibes again, which brings it back to Belcara. I don't know if you've ever seen the video for Belcara. Creepy video, very kind of feels like you're watching a horror movie sort of thing. So, you know, people in the past have referred to Spiritbox as horrorcore, and that song definitely is getting us back to the Spiritbox horrorcore. So, but
definitely so cool. I'm so excited to see
I mean,
them.
Look, I'm just saying it. We're going to be getting up close. We're going to be getting close to the mosh pit. I'll do everything I can to keep you safe, but we're getting
oh,
up there.
Oh, yeah, we will. Oh, I'm going to jump right in the mosh pit.
Good, good, because we're getting up there. We're not going to be back at the, I mean, it's at the complex, so we should be able to get there.
Oh, yeah.
We can get up
there.
We're
going to get right there.
The
yep.
But why don't you tell me, what do you bring to the table for us today?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I am like almost done with Wind and Tree.
I'm jealous. Haven't even started it.
Which is, it's just crazy. It's insane. It's crazy. I've just been so, I feel like I live and breathe Cosmere at the moment too. So this is the official Brandon Sanderson, which Order of Knights Radiant you are. It's kind of long, but it's like there's two sides of like a scale sort of thing in this quiz. And basically, like, for example, the very first one is, so you kind of do percentages. You move the sliders towards the attributes you most identify with. And then the quiz sorts out what order you're most likely to belong to.
Let's do it.
So I'm thinking I'll say what the prompt is, and we'll
oh, say. Oh, no, let's keep that secret.
Moving towards.
Yeah. Let's keep secret we're putting ourselves on the slider so that when we get to the end, we see what it is.
Bet. Absolutely. Okay, so like I said, the first one is heart on sleeve or poker face.
Okay.
So we move the slider in and it does percentages. Let me know when you're done. Okay. And then confident or needs reassurance.
Okay.
Okay, and then we got cautious or daring.
Okay.
Okay, then we got library or dojo.
Okay.
Okay. Then we got wolf pack or lone wolf.
That one's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we got peacemaker or firebrand.
Okay.
Then we got spiritual or skeptical.
All right.
Then we got leader or facilitator.
Okay.
Then we got guard dog or alley cat.
Okay.
Then compassionate or dispassionate.
Okay.
Then heart or head.
All right.
Then flamboyant or reserved.
Okay.
Then letter of the law or spirit of the law. Some of these are funny with how much I know which order it's referring to. Like that one's just Skybreaker.
Okay.
All right. Then we got free spirited or disciplined.
All right.
Then obedient or rebellious.
Okay.
Then creative or conventional.
Okay.
And then dependable or flexible.
All right.
Then down to earth or head in the clouds.
Okay.
Thinks outside the box or colors inside the lines.
Okay.
Then tense or relaxed. I think we all, if anyone knows me well, they know which one I'm putting for that.
Okay.
Okay, then we got decisive and indecisive.
All right.
Likes change or likes stability.
Okay.
Planner or spontaneous.
All right.
End justifies the means or honorable actions.
Okay.
Playful or serious.
There's a lot of questions. Okay.
Yeah, we're
That's
almost
cool.
there, though.
That's cool.
Then tells the truth or bends the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Then likes to take things apart or if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Hotel or camping.
Okay.
Fencing or boxing.
Okay.
Artistic or scientific.
Okay.
Book smart or street smart.
Some of these are tough. Okay. Yeah.
Paladin or rogue.
Okay.
Competitive or casual.
Okay.
And then for the last one, transparency or need to know.
Okay. Say the words.
Now we click say the words.
Okay. What are you?
Okay. I'm a wind runner.
You're a wind runner.
I'm a wind runner. This is what it says for me. I'll read my little spiel. It says, you are a wind runner, which gives you access to the surges of adhesion and gravitation. Adhesion allows you to bind things together. Gravitation allows you to change the direction and strength of an object's gravitational attraction, including that of yourself, which essentially gives you the power of flight. The Windrunners are primarily scouts, though they often also work as a special forces group able to deliver teams of Radiance behind enemy lines for secret missions. The Order tends to attract big sibling types who want to look out for the defenseless, but also those who enjoy action and want to fight for what they believe in. Windrunners tend to be the most like conventional soldiers, believing in structures of command, team dynamics, and the importance of a squad of brothers and sisters. They tend to have a larger number of squires than other orders and focus more than any other order on mastering their
Nice. So what was your, what percentage were you Windrunner?
80%.
Okay. What's your second place?
Skybreaker, 67%.
Okay. So you go 80 all the way down to 67.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. What's your lowest one?
Dustbringer, which is 41%.
All right. Okay. Cool.
It's kind of funny.
So should I tell you mine?
Yes.
Do you have a guess?
Let me think. Low key, I feel like it's kind of, I feel like it's Bondsmith. Is
it's
it?
It's Bondsmith.
Yes. I knew it.
Now, Here's what I'm going to read what it says. You are a bondsmith, which gives you access to the surges of tension and adhesion. Tension allows you to alter the stiffness of objects. Adhesion allows you to bind things together. Anyone can become a bondsmith, subject to persuading one of the three Spren who granted bondsmith powers. Those powers tend to work differently for one bondsmith than another, and even those powers shared with other orders tend to work differently for bondsmiths. The bondsmiths are unusual in that there are never more than three full members. Historically, they work to resolve disputes and help set up functioning governments. Even though there can only be three full members, there were times that some bondsmiths did take squires. Beyond that, many of the retinues that protected the bondsmiths were considered members of the order, going so far as to swear oaths, even though they didn't have a spren and would never have one. Some even called this the most pure form of being a radiant, because these were oaths sworn not in the name of gaining powers, but simply for the good of the oaths themselves. Mm-hmm. Bondsmiths are generally the heart and soul of the radiants, the most protected and highly regarded of the orders, capable of doing incredible things with the nature of oaths, bonds, and power. The order, including the aforementioned squires and attendants, tend to attract the peacemakers of the world, those that want to help bring people together rather than divide them.
Yep.
So, 79% bondsmith, okay. 78% windrunner.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, barely. Dang.
1 point.
That's crazy.
My lowest at 33%, lightweaver.
Really?
Yep.
I'm tied for Elskaller, bondsmith, and lightweaver at 45%.
So mine is bondsmith at 79, windrunner at 78, edge dancer at 72.
Okay.
And then I'm stone ward 66, Elskaller 58, skybreaker 55, will shaper 43, truth watcher 39, dustbringer 37, and lightweaver 33.
Dang, yeah, I've got after my skybreaker at 67, I'm stone ward 63, truth watcher 60, edge dancer 59, will shaper 58. And then Elskaller, Bondsmith, Lightweaver, all at 45. And then Dustbringer at 41.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had much lower down in the Dustbringer and Lightweaver. Like I say, Lightweaver was only 33% for me. But I thought it was interesting that Bondsmith and Windrunner are only like literally one percentage point difference.
So close. Yeah. No, that's crazy. That's funny. I have done... I've done this before, but a long time ago, and I got Windrunner, so I didn't know if I would maybe get something different this time around, but
yeah,
Windrunner. I want to go see, let's go look at the Dustbringer one. That was both of our, no, yours was Lightweaver.
Lightweaver was my very lowest.
So Dustbringer was my lowest. It says Dustbringer oaths were themed toward responsibility. They were led to understand that the powers they used needed to be properly channeled, much as their own desires and wills needed proper form and shape. As a Dustbringer moved through the oaths, they were taught greater powers of destruction and are one of the only orders where their abilities aren't all available at the beginning, but instead were delivered slowly as they made the proper oaths. Each oath led to a greater understanding of power, the nature of holding it, and the associated responsibility. And then at the bottom it says they are often used as sappers, engineers, and strategists. They attract anyone who likes to take things apart, who likes to know how things work. They also attract those who are a little foolhardy at times, brave soldiers who see themselves as containing and controlling terrible destruction so it won't get out of hand and hurt innocents. All right.
Cool. Well, do you have a an astronomy thing for
I
us.
I do. Let me go back and find my article. Okay. So, we have this thing that we have found that we decided to call little red dots. LRDs that have been found. And they kind of... It was in the James Webb Space Telescope search for, like, super early stars, super early black holes. And we have found, like, tiny little galaxies that were nicknamed little red dots. Mm-hmm. And basically, these objects are at, like, they're super, super redshifted. which basically means like they're very far away and are more compact than anyone expects. They basically were supposed to have formed like starting only about 600 million years after the Big Bang. But because they were so old, there's no trace of them existing now, like at this time, because they're so far away, we're seeing them so far in the past, you know? So they kind of have mysteriously disappeared. And they usually only have a radius of no more than 500 light years, which like our own galaxy is more than 100 times bigger than that. And either these little red dots could be like dwarf galaxies, which are just like small little galaxies, which is interesting to see and learn how they would, you know, maybe disappear so fast and why they were so short-lived. So they either could be that, or they could be hosting a central supermassive black hole, and the supermassive black hole could be possibly literally swallowing the entire thing, and that's why it disappears. But they usually don't, they're not visible in X-ray light, which is how we would maybe know that it was a supermassive black hole. So we don't really know what they contain and why they were gone so fast. But it is cool because they are little and red, and so they were named LRDs, little red dots. So, I mean, the more that we learn about them, the more we'll learn about their earlier universe and why those things were able to form so, quote, quickly and disappear so quickly as well. But, you know, it's cool that the further we look out into the universe, the further back in time we look. So we can basically, I don't know, that just kind of blows my mind all the time that we, just the further we look out, the further back in time we're looking. So, yeah, that's my fact.
That is very cool. Very
cool. Do you have a fact for us today?
I don't really. I've been going through and kind of looking at things, and I have a whole RSS feed of medical things, and there was just nothing that I thought was interesting. There's a lot. Here's what I'll say. There's a lot of gloom when it comes to medical reporting and opinions about what's going on in medicine in the U.S. And look, I'll just be honest, we look at where we are and we look at the utterly incompetent leadership of this country and the illegal and unconstitutional things that are being done by people who do not have the authority, the mandate, the rights to be doing any of those things. And we're scared. And we're all scared. Anybody who's paying attention is scared. If you're not scared, it's because you're not paying attention. And in medicine, it's going to potentially be a big deal. It's already at a breaking point. And the incompetence, the evilness, the just straight up, I mean, look, we have a convicted felon as the president of the United States. We have a rapist, a serial adulterer, a liar. I mean, all the things. It, you know what? Like, medicine has a real good chance of just being screwed. So the medical reporting right now is pretty grim.
Yeah.
So, you know.
For sure.
On that happy note.
On that happy note.
But, no, like, realistically, you know, Eden and I have talked about this over on the Middle of Culture. All we can do right now is be there for each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Try and reach out, try and be empathetic, try and be there for each other, be safe spaces and safe people for those who need it. And that's all we can do because the government won't.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was talking to my other friend the other day just about how it feels like there's not much we can do in our, you know, positions because none of us are really in a, you know, position of power or office or anything like that.
Right.
But especially as a white person, there's always something, you know, that I can do to help amplify those whose voices are not being heard and need to be heard. And the, again, like you said, the best thing that we can do right now, if you can't actively, you know, spend money on organizations that are actively, you know, doing things to help with the situation, even if you don't have that ability, you can be kind to those around you and make sure you're checking your privilege and checking your biases and being open-minded to those around you and just being kind to everyone you, because none of us can afford to be in a world where we are unkind to each other when the government is actively trying to kill us. So
sadly, you are absolutely correct. So
anyway,
be kind.
Be kind.
Be kind. Don't be an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well, we will be back in another couple of weeks. And until then, be safe, have fun, and, you know, just be good human beings. There aren't enough of those around these days.
Absolutely. All right. See you guys later. Yeah.